Good morning. Welcome to Faith Point Church. My name is George Wasson. We are so glad that you have chosen to spend a portion of your weekend with us. We are in the midst of a special message series that we are calling The Absolute Basics of the Christian Faith. We are spending some time digging in to what we would best describe as the basics, the basic tenets, the basic doctrine of the Christian faith in an attempt to answer the question, what is it we believe and why? Well, each week during this series, we have begun our time by joining together in declaring the Apostles' Creed, which was written back in the late 300s AD. And so for over 1,700 years now, the church has been publicly affirming these basic core doctrine of the Christian faith, again, what we know as the Apostles' Creed. And so this morning, I want to invite you to join with me as we declare together that which we believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen and amen. Well, we have been digging into these basics, as I've been sharing with you every week, for two main reasons. The first reason is this, because what we believe matters. What we believe about our faith really matters because it has vital, eternal consequences. How we're able to answer these questions says what we believe and why. And so it is essential for us to know the answers to these questions. What is it that you in fact believe as a follower of Jesus? Well, that's the first reason, because what we believe matters. Because you see, what we believe affects how we act. It affects what we do. And so what we believe shapes and forms the kind of people that we become. And the second premise that we're working from is that the Bible is the final authority on all that it addresses. So we believe that the Bible, God's word, has been inspired by God for us so that we can know the heart of God. The Bible tells us who God is, it tells us who we are, and it tells us the kind of relationship that God wants to have with us. So we believe that the Bible, God's word, is the final authority on all that it addresses. And so with that in mind, we have been digging into a series of questions that, in fact, our confirmation class has been using. There's a curriculum called The Absolute Basics of the Christian Faith by Phil Tallon, and that served as really the basis for the curriculum for our confirmation class, and it has also served as the basis for this message series. Because over the last few weeks, we have been working through a series of questions. Actually, there are 16 questions in total that we will be asking, and with each one of these questions, there is a very succinct answer that we hope will do a couple things. Number one, we hope that it'll give you an answer for the hope that you have within you. 1 Peter 3:15 says we should always be ready to give an answer for that which we believe. The second reason is that we really want this to serve as kind of the foundation or provide you with some tools so that when you get into conversations with people about your belief, because we should be having faith conversations with the people around us, that you have something to build from. And so these questions look at what is it that we actually believe about our Christian faith. So each week, we've asked a question, and then we provided the answer. And because I believe that repetition is one of the greatest tools for learning, each week, I've asked you the question, and each week, you have shared back with me the answer to the question. And so you can see the answers to these questions both on the screen, and they are also in your bulletin on the back page. And so let's review where we have been. The first two questions that we asked had to do with the doctrine of God. Question number one, who is God? And our answer is this, that God is Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons in one God. And then we ask the question, well, what is God like? And again, the answer that we provide is that God is perfect. He is perfect in power, knowledge, and in his holy love. From there, we moved on to the doctrine of creation, and we had two questions for that. Question number three, what did God make? And our answer, God spoke everything into being by his own free choice and it was very good. And question number four, why is there evil? And again, the answer to this question is that God gave us free will to obey, and we did not. It's often been said that free will is one of God's greatest blessings, and yet it can also be one of our greatest curses, because we have the ability to choose. We can either choose for the things of God, or we can choose against the things of God. And with each of the choices that we make, there are always consequences. From there, we moved on to the doctrine of the incarnation. The incarnation is a big word that simply means the infleshness. And so we're looking at the infleshness of God, or we're looking at the doctrine of the incarnation, Jesus stepping out of heaven and stepping onto earth. And so the question that we ask, number five, is who is Jesus Christ? And the answer is this: he is the eternally begotten Son of God and Son of Mary, fully divine and fully human. This is the mystery of the incarnation, that God is both fully divine and fully human. So if we answer the question, who is Jesus? Well, then the next question, question number six, kind of flows from that. Why did the Son of God become human? I love the answer to this question. Because God loves us and wants to make us truly children of God. That the very nature, the very essence of God is love. And he loves us so much that he will do whatever it takes so that he could once again make us truly his children. From there, we began to look at the doctrine of salvation. Now, this is such an important piece of the basics of the Christian faith that, as a matter of fact, we're going to spend 4 weeks looking at the questions surrounding the doctrine of salvation. Question number seven was, what is salvation? What does it mean to be made right with God? And the answer to this question is that through Jesus' sacrificial death and victorious resurrection, we are reconciled with God and we are rescued from destruction. What is salvation? It is reconciliation and it is rescue. Well, what is required for salvation? You see, God does his part. Well, we have to do ours in essence. As with any gift, when it's given to us, what we do? We say thank you, right? Well, when the offer of salvation is made to us, we have a response to make. And the response to that is simply this: what is required for salvation? We must repent and believe in Jesus Christ. In other words, we must change our mind and change our ways, and we must fully trust in who Jesus is. Today, we're going to look at another question about salvation. And the question is this: what are the benefits of salvation? You know, American Express made famous the slogan, membership has its privileges, right? Well, our faith tells us that salvation has its benefits. And so what are the benefits of our salvation? If we have been made right with God by faith through Christ, by faith in Christ alone, what are the benefits of that salvation? And the answer is this: we are pardoned by God, made part of God's family again, and given resurrection life and power. We are pardoned by God, we are made part of God's family again, and we are given resurrection life and power. Now, this all flows out of some amazing words that we see in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, we read this: therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. So let's review. Let's catch up with why we're looking at and why we're spending so much time on the doctrine of salvation. You see, what we talked about over the last few weeks, what we know is that sin has done two things. It has disrupted relationships, our relationship with God and our relationship with one another, and it has caused death. The Bible says that the wages of sin, or the consequences of sin, are death. And so the ripple effect of Adam and Eve's sin throughout time has been that we have had disrupted relationships with God and with one another, and we now experience death. Well, that tells us that something needed to be done, right? Well, since there's nothing that we could do to actually fix that, then God intervened. You see, we needed God to step in and do something, that which only he could do. And so because sin has caused disrupted relationships and death, we acknowledge two things. Number one, that we need to be reconciled with God. Our relationship with God needs to be restored. So God takes the initiative to do that through his son. And we also needed to be rescued from death and destruction. So we need to be reconciled, and we also need to be rescued. And so the Bible tells us that Jesus reconciled us to God and rescued us from sin and death on the cross by his resurrection. You see, what Jesus did on the cross was to pay the penalty for our sin. That because we sin, Jesus steps forward and he says, I'll take it. I will bear all your sins, your past, your present, and your future sins. I will take your sin upon me. I will bear the consequence of your sin for you. And then what we understand is the resurrection of Jesus did amazing things. That's why we refer to it as the victorious resurrection of Jesus. Because what happened is Jesus' death on the cross reconciled us in our relationship with God, but the resurrection rescued us from the consequences of that, which is death. Because what this tells us, the resurrection tells us, is that death is not the end. That the end of the story is not death in this existence. That we will, like Jesus, be raised again. And so because of the resurrection of Jesus, that we have reconciliation and we have rescue. But again, we have our part. So we participate in this reconciliation and resurrection if we, number one, repent of our sin. And as we talked about last week, that simply means that we change our mind and we change our ways. And we also must believe in Jesus, that we must fully trust and declare full allegiance to Jesus. Again, so this has been a review, and if you have not been able to be with us, I would encourage you to go back and listen to the messages, they're all online, that pertain to this area of salvation. So what we're going to talk about today, setting all this up for us, is what are the benefits of salvation? You see, I truly believe that there are benefits to our salvation. Because see, over time, I've discovered something that just astounds me, quite frankly. Because I think there is one central struggle for Christians. When we boil it all down, I think every single one of us struggles in one area when it comes to being a Christian. And it's this. The central struggle for Christians, I believe today, is living like saved people. Living like reconciled and rescued people. Living in such a way that we have been made right with God. Living in such a way that both how we live, what we say, what we do, all comes back to what we believe. It's a struggle, isn't it? To live a life that living in this place of absolute and total understanding that we have been made right with God, well, shouldn't that change us? Like when we see how good it is to be made right with God, like shouldn't that have this profound effect on us about how we actually live? Or again, that would be the benefits, right? And so I want to spend the time that we have this morning looking at how I would summarize the answer to this question of what are the benefits of salvation. But before we do that, I want us to read over some words that we find in the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, because these are beautiful words that help set the stage for us to understand really just how great this good news is. So Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this new place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Again, the cross. Now, Most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. Again, so what's our question? The question is, what are the benefits of salvation? And the answer to that question is that we are pardoned by God, made part of God's family again, and given resurrection life and power. Now, what I'd like to do is to take those words and really summarize them down into three words. Three words for some of us might be easier to memorize than that sentence, though I hope that sentence, you will strive to commit that to memory as well. So the benefits of our salvation, I think, can be barreled down to three words. The first word is forgiveness. Forgiveness. It means that we are pardoned for our sin. It means that there is a change of status for us, that we are made right with God. Now, we've all seen how presidents issue pardons, or we've seen how judges issue pardons, and what those are simple declarations of pardon, that the person is released from the consequences of what they did, that those are wiped away and the people are free. And so forgiveness is simply a declaration that there's a change in status, that a person is in fact made right. N.T. Wright, in his book, Justification, God's Plan and Paul's Vision, says this, that forgiveness or pardoning is a change of status accompanied, it is hoped, by a steady transformation of the heart. And so forgiveness can be broken down into two things. Number one, that we are justified. That means that we stand in grace. Isn't that good news? That we stand in grace. Justification, a big word that just simply means just as if I never sinned. It's a legal term. It's a pardon. It means it's gone. It means that we have been made right with God. But we've not only been made right with God, when we're forgiven by God, it also means that we have peace with God. Now, I want to underscore that word with, because it says a lot. That word with God means that we now have the ability to move forward unhindered, reconciled, and restored. When we have peace with God, it means that we are now, that we have the ability, that we are motivated, that we are empowered, that we can, in fact, have peace with God. That it's a forward direction. It's a movement. And so it's not just the peace of God, but it's the peace with God as we are living with God, as we are living surrendered to God, as we are living empowered by God. So the benefits of our salvation, number one, that we are pardoned by God, which simply means that we are forgiven. The second word that I think summarizes well the benefits of our salvation is family. Family. And again, in how we answered the question, we said that we are made part of God's family again. Paul refers to this in Romans as an undeserved privilege. An undeserved privilege. Or a little bit later in verse 11, he says that we have this new relationship. And so the benefit of our salvation is that we are now made part of God's family again that sin has disrupted. Mike Napa, in an article, What Does It Mean to Have Peace with God, writes this. He says, having peace with God means that we can always go home. Don't you love that? That we can always go home. I'm reminded of the story that Jesus told of the prodigal son. You know the story. We talked about it last week. It's a story about a guy who has two sons. One of the sons looks at his dad and basically says, I want my inheritance. I want the money that's owed to me. When you die, I want it now because I want to go. And his dad gives him the money, sends him off. And the story goes that he literally spends and wastes all the money and he ends up broke. Well, at the end of his wits, he has to figure out, what in the world am I going to do? So he figures, I can go back home, I can go home and be at least a servant in my Father's house. And so Jesus, as he's telling the story, says that as he is heading home, his father sees him in the distance, because you see, the father was looking for him because he believed at some point, that his son would come home. Well, that's what a father does, right? A father looks out to the horizon to see if his wayward child is going to come back. And he sees his son, and he hikes up his toga, and he goes running after him. He doesn't need long, drawn-out excuses. He doesn't need anything. He just says, come back in. You're part of the family. Here's a robe. Here's a ring. We're going to have a party. We're going to celebrate because you were dead, and now you are alive. I think that's a beautiful picture for us about our Heavenly Father, is that we always can be made part of God's family. Again, that we can always go home. You see, we have access to the Father. That's what it means to be a part of God's family, is that we have direct access to the Father. And what do we see the Father is like? He's love, right? He's perfect in love. And so he will always welcome us home. And it also means that we have peace with God. It means that we can have a restored, reconciled relationship with God, that we can be at peace with him and in him and through him, and that we can move forward, not stuck in the past, but move into the future because we are at peace, because we have been forgiven by God and we have been brought back in to the family of God. And so the benefits of our salvation are, number one, we are forgiven. It means we are pardoned by God. Number two, that we are family, that we are made part of God's family again. And then number three, the third benefit of our salvation is freedom. Now, I love this word, because what this word tells us is that we are given resurrection life and power. Resurrection life and power. As Paul describes in verse 4, we have confident hope of our salvation. Now, I want you to understand just how powerful this actually is. That through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that we have to conquer sin and death in our life. Now let's try to get a really good handle of this. The power that raised Jesus from the dead, this resurrection power that raised him from the dead, is the same kind of power that you and I have when we have said yes to Jesus, when we have a relationship with Jesus, when we are walking with Jesus. Now, if that same resurrection power that brought Jesus from the dead could do that, do you think that the resurrection power and life that God offers us can fix our little stuff? That can intervene in those places where we detour, where we take paths and move in directions that aren't good for us? Do you think the resurrected power that we have as followers of Jesus can overcome all of those things? I do. As a matter of fact, I believe that with all my heart. That it means that we don't have to stay stuck in our stuff. It means that we don't have to keep doing what we've been doing, or we don't have to stay where we've been, because we have, as followers of Jesus, as persons who have repented and believed, as persons who have been reconciled and rescued from the wages of sin and death, is that we have this resurrection power to help us to keep our eyes on Jesus. As the writer of Hebrews says, the author and perfecter, the beginner and finisher of our faith. And there is freedom in that. You see, in his book, The Absolute Basics of the Christian Faith, Phil Tallon says, God isn't just interested in forgiving our past. So that's really big. He's about ensuring that we have a future. So God is not just interested in forgiving our past, so he does, but he is about ensuring that we have a future. So what does that mean? It means two things, at least. Number one, it means that we are set free from the power of sin. You remember what I said just a few minutes ago, that I think one of the greatest challenges for Christians today is living like saved people? Now let's move to this idea of freedom. Is that through the resurrected power and life of Jesus, we are actually set free from the power of sin, if we will allow that power to work in us. That means that, again, we don't have to keep doing what we've been doing. It means that we don't have to make so many of those bad choices that we have made or that we're continuing to make. It means that those temptations and those distractions aren't as alluring as they appear to be because we have resurrection life and power, which gives us victory over that stuff. So we can actually be set free from the power of sin in our lives. Isn't that amazing news? Isn't that good news? But it's not just that. We are set free from the power of sin, and it also says that we are confident, that we have confident hope in our salvation, that we have an assurance of our faith, that we will not be disappointed, that we can live in our salvation. As we walk in right relationship with God, we have this confidence, we have this assurance that we both have been made right with God, that we are still being made right with God, and we will continue into the future to be made right with God until we stand and look at Him face to face. And He says, "Welcome home." So the benefits of our salvation, we are pardoned by God, which means we have forgiveness. We are made part of God's family. Again, it's just family. And we are given resurrection life and power. That means we have freedom. You see, Jesus came so that we might have this resurrection life and power that He wants us to have in abundance. Jesus said, "There's a thief, and he has come to rob and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus says, I have come. I have come here. I have stepped out of heaven and came to earth. I have stepped into time and space so that you might have life and have it abundantly." As I was preparing for this message, I was reminded of this amazing song by Chris Tomlin. It's a song that's just simply titled Resurrection Power. And the song goes like this: "You called me from the grave by name. You called me out of all my shame. I see the old has passed away, the new has come. Now I have resurrection power living on the inside. Jesus, you have given us freedom, no longer bound by sin and darkness, living in the light of your goodness. You have given us freedom." And the refrain of the song just keeps going on. "Now I have resurrection power living on the inside. Jesus, you have given us freedom. I'm no longer bound by sin and darkness, living in the light of your goodness. You have given us freedom." My friends, there are benefits to our salvation. As we have looked at each one of these questions in the nature of salvation, and we have one left after this week, what is salvation? That through Jesus' sacrificial death and victorious resurrection, we're reconciled with God and rescued from our destruction. That what is required for our salvation, that we must simply repent and believe in Jesus. The benefits of salvation are forgiveness and family and freedom. That we have been pardoned by God, made a part of His family again, and given resurrection life and power. And next week, we're going to look at the fourth question about the doctrine of salvation. And it's this: what happens when we live out our salvation in Christ? In other words, what does God continue to do in our lives as we live out this reconciled, restored relationship with God? My friends, again, Jesus has come to give us life that's abundant, to have a life that is reconciled and rescued, a life that is made right with God by grace through faith in Christ alone. The blessings that we have: forgiveness, that we have family, that we have freedom, I have two words for you. Just two simple words. Take them. Embrace them. Believe them. These are words for you, and these are words for life. Let's pray.